Our Heavenly Father, we are honored today, Lord, that you literally fit us into the snapshot of eternity. Lord, we didn't deserve to be there. We did not deserve a thing. Well, we deserved hell, I guess, but we did not deserve the great love of the Master. And I thank you, Lord God, for the picture that you put in our hearts of life that can only come through a sovereign Savior and washed through the blood of the Lamb of God. Our Father, we pray, Lord, this morning for those that feel they have no future, that can't see that snapshot because they're not looking to you. And I think particularly, Lord, of Kristen's half-brother today, DJ. Lord, in the midst of medical crisis, in the midst of other things, I'm sure, Lord, I pray that you would intervene in a sovereign way in his life. And you would touch him, you would heal him. More importantly, Lord, that he would come to know Christ as the one who was hovering over that hospital room and over that emergency and that operating time. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for you to touch him and the entire family, that, Lord God, the presence of the Holy Spirit would invade in a very real sense. Lord Jesus, and we thank you today, Lord, for your faithfulness to each one of us. Lord, for the mistakes, for the blunders, for all of those things, your grace exceeds it all. And we come today grateful that you allow us into the place that you have grafted for us, Lord Jesus. And in a very real sense, Lord, you bring us back to that orphanage, to that place, Lord, that we all need to remember the grace of God for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for Maria. Thank you, Lord, for the great trip and the safety, Lord, that you gave them. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your continuing work in her and through her. As we see, Lord, a work of God unfold before our very eyes. Thank you so much for every life. And I pray your blessing upon your word, Lord, which is your breath to us. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to need the ushers at the end of the message. So just so you know. Title is, Are You Tired of Hanging On to Your Stuff? Tired is spelt like the town that we're going to refer to in Acts. Turn to 21, Acts 21. You ever go through stuff in your house or in your basement or maybe your garage and you come across stuff and you go, where in the world did that come from? I mean, you got no clue. You're pretty sure you didn't steal it because you don't steal. But you go, well, let's see, I didn't buy it, I don't think. I don't remember it as a birthday present. At least if I did, I can't remember who gave it to me. So you can't really say anything because you might tell the very person. Say, do you know where this came from? Yeah, I gave it to you for Christmas. Yeah, you like to avoid that conversation. But we come across stuff in our lives that are just, we don't know where it came from. I mean, we've got stuff that was very interesting. I know where some of it came from, and I'm almost sure it multiplied. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, stuff, or as I call it, some things you find forever. They never seem to go. You get rid of them, and then there's another pile. Acts 21. We have a portion of scripture when Paul is in his third missionary journey, and he's actually coming toward the end of that journey heading toward Jerusalem. He knows where he's headed. He knows what's coming. And you know what? Certain parts of your life, you get more sentimental. Do you know that? You do. You look at stuff and you go, oh, that reminds me of this person or not, or whatever the case might be. And so, please stand for the reading of the word. The first 6 verses of Acts 21. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. And finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. And all the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. And after saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. You may be seated. I'm always struck by this scripture. The 4th verse, and when they got to Tyre, they unloaded their cargo. Did you know that there's certain times of your life where God brings you to a place in your journey and it's time to get rid of a pile of stuff that's been in your soul? Do you know that? How many know we amass things through our years? And we think we're just trawling along. The truth is, if you could see spiritually or emotionally, you would see a huge backpack all the way around you that we've built up through the years. Then sometimes we wonder why it's hard to get up in the morning, because all of this weighs on you. It really does. Are you tired of hanging on to this stuff? Well, I want to give you a little history about Tyre. It's an interesting town, actually. It's an ancient Phoenician city on the Mediterranean. It's about 20 miles south of Sidon, and it's in modern-day southern Lebanon. That's where it's located. Its original word in the Arabic means sour. Now, how do you know in your personal life if it's time to unload some stuff? Well, your spirit is probably a little sour. Things don't taste right. They don't feel right. Been carrying them too long. And so, in the history of its name, it was located, obviously, on an island, and on a rock island. So, it was the primary source for food, for supplies, and all kinds of things around that region. So, obviously, the port here is very important in its day. It has one of the only hippodromes that is still erected and still in its full beauty. So it was built very well back in those days. It is interesting to me that it's located right in the spot in that region where God gave, remember when he gave prophecies to the different tribes of in the Old Testament? And he said, this tribe will be in this area and this tribe will be here. And this is the tribe of Asher on the western boundary. And the Bible said in Genesis 49, it said, Asher's area would be food, it would be rich, and it would yield wonderful dainties. So in this area, it was very lucrative for a long time. Phoenicia, by the way, the name means purple, and this area was well known for the purple dye that it had as the mollusks were out there. And they would retrieve them, and then this was their industry all the way around the Mediterranean. So they got a lot of their money and their means from that. And ultimately what they would do throughout a few portions of the scripture, you see this in the time of David, see it in the time of Ezra and Zerubbabel and all the way back, is that the scripture would say they would go to the king of Tyre or whoever it was, we need cedar, we need carpenters, we need different workers to help with the building of the house of David or the building of the second temple, whatever it was. It was an area of great craftsmen. it was an area that brought forth those that would help to build the things of God. Nebuchadnezzar basically besieged it for about 13 years, and these are people that did not surrender. Okay? You can be conquered. They weren't conquered at that time, but you could be conquered without yielding. And so it goes on and it talks about Alexander the Great. How many remember the story about him? What he did, because they didn't yield to him, so he breached the city wall like many conquerors would do, and he said, too bad, I'm going to take your area. And he did that, and he killed a lot of the people, enslaved them, and did all kinds of things. Later on, in the Roman time, it still became a more prosperous port and was very important in the trade route, which is why this was the place they were going to unload their goods and their supplies. Now, this is also interesting because it's a place where Jesus did some of his more powerful healing. And I want you to listen to this, because in Mark 3:8, we have a story here where Jesus has just done some teaching and the multitudes are thronging to him. And he told the disciples, have a ship, have a boat ready, because there's so much coming at me. I need to get away. I need to be isolated a little bit. But there's so many people that wanted to be healed. Of course, everyone that met Jesus wanted to be healed. And the Bible says many had plagues. They had plagues. And the Greek word here, it means scourges, it means whippings, it means all kinds of assault. And it also talks about unclean spirits that do this. Do you know when we have to lay our burdens down and lay some of the things we've been carrying for years? Some of it is right from the enemy. How many know that? You can go to therapy. You can read the four spiritual laws. You can do a lot of things, and they're good things to do. But there are moments in life where only the true mastery of Jesus Christ is going to free people from stuff and from things that build in our life, because the enemy's on top of it. And I can guarantee you that's what he spends the bulk of his time doing. One of the very fascinating things in the story is that the unclean spirits, when they saw Jesus, they did what? They fell before him and they worshiped. Do you know the devil worships? Now, he doesn't prepare a program like we do. But I'm telling you this, the demons, the animals, the earth, anything God created, worship is the natural response when you come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the natural. That is what's supposed to happen. And the enemy has to worship. He doesn't like it, but he has to. And here's what happens. When you worship, your hands open, you let go of whatever you're hanging on to. And when in this story, when the enemy had his clutches on people, he had to worship, the demons had to worship, and they were released from what he was hanging on to. The devil has to worship. I love it. I like to remind him of that every now and then. There's another story in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th verse, talks about Jesus spent the night in prayer before he summoned his disciples. He spent time in prayer. Now, if you think Jesus needs prayer, how much more prayer do we need? Okay? If he spent the night in prayer. That's why we're going to have another day of prayer. Except this one's going to be prayer and fasting. So next Sunday I'm going to talk about fasting and how important it is. Jesus stood on a level plain. He descended from the mountain and he came to this coast area. And people came to be healed of their diseases. Same area, same thing. People are beset by unclean spirits, the Bible says. And they were healed. They were healed. Didn't say even that he rebuked the devil. It said Jesus healed them. In the Greek, write this down if you want to, the word is the same word as we get our word therapy. How many want Jesus to be your therapist? Huh? Therapist. If you take the first couple letters there, when Jesus is there, there's therapy, there's healing. It comes forward because of the authority of his name. And the Bible says he was healed. They were healed. And Luke, as a physician, would be very curious by the nature of the healings of the people, which I'm sure you'll get to in the great Bible study of Luke that's at the church on Tuesdays with Beverly. You can have sources of illness that can be based on viruses. They can be based on family history. They can be based on environment. They can be based on stress. They can be based on a number of things. One of the big ones is unforgiveness, just so you know. That will tie you up tighter than anything. And, of course, the enemy and any kind of demonic effect. The Bible says Jesus went and healed them all. Isn't that wonderful? I like that word, all. He healed them all. Then in Matthew 15, 21 to 28, it's a story where, again, he withdraws to this region, and a Syrophoenician woman, they're originally Canaanites, she came and she said, "My daughter is demonized. Please touch her and have pity on." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care for pity. I like mercy. I think mercy is a better word, actually. Here, Jesus doesn't even respond back to her. How would you feel if you went to talk to the Lord and he didn't talk to you? Wouldn't you feel offended? He's talking to his disciples. I'm speaking to you. Why aren't you talking to me? She could have gotten just very angry and left. But the Bible says she didn't do that. What she did was she worshiped. She worshiped. Anyway, she had the right spirit. She had the right sense as she was approaching the Master. And then he says something to her that just kills me. He says, "Well, I came to the house of Israel," meaning I didn't come to the Gentiles, which is true in the sense that that was his first visit. That's why he came in general, but God knew that he was going to graft us into the house of Israel. She didn't get mad. What she said was, "Hey, even the dogs get to eat. They get the crumbs." And in that time, a Gentile was known as a dog. So it would be a phrase that she would have understood. She said, "Hey, I may not have been the first person on that invitation list, but I don't care as long as you touch me. That's what's important." And she was hungry, and she was absolutely pushing through for an answer from Jesus. And she was healed. And this word healed not just means heal physically. It means to heal and to make whole. Do you know there's a difference between being healed and made whole? When the lepers were healed, the Bible says one of them stopped to thank Jesus and he was made every whit whole. Healing is directly connected to our spiritual sense, to our identity, to our healing emotionally in every possible way. It is not just physical healing. That's where we see it, but that's not the entire thing. You're made every whit whole. Jesus came to make us every whit whole. And the Bible says in the story, the daughter was healed that very hour. Jesus doesn't dwell in time, but he does use it. And he speaks to time, and he says, "This is the time. Go touch this one." It's 19 minutes before noon. Go touch Norm. He uses time because he can tell it. Now, on Paul's day, he's traveling. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He knows, basically, he's probably going to be giving his life, ultimately, and he's sentimental. The people are crying. They're emotional. It's like I say about people that are criers. They can put out fires, and which is good sprinkling system, which we have here, by the way, in due measure. He's on a journey toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so are we. We're supposed to be. And like the Steels, we go from this port to this one, to that city, to this city. Yes, we get some delays, do we not? You bet. But there's a spot where we come to where the Lord wants us to lay down our burdens. That which is hanging on to us and weighing us down, burdening us, and actually suffocating us. This city where it's talking about Jesus withdrew, he was isolated, he came away. How do you know that you need to unbear your burden to the Lord? Because you're feeling isolated, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling hopeless. You ever felt like that? That comes from within the stuff that's just hanging on to you. Absolutely hanging on. In our house, not only presently, but previously, we've had some work done. And when you have work done, as you know, when you change the floors, you have to move everything out. And I absolutely despise it. Thank you very much. But you have to move it in order for them to put new flooring in. And if we're going to be standing in the righteousness of God, he's got to undo some things. Because there's some things and stuff that's plugged into our lives that is absolutely obscuring the power and the plan of God. Especially when the enemy, who has nothing else to do but bother Christians, wants to hurt you with it. It's present day. Tyre is a place of big depression. It's a depressed city because of the civil war in Lebanon and all kinds of other things with the Israeli occupation. It's really gone down in terms of its importance and suffered greatly. But we don't have to suffer greatly. We don't have to continue in that kind of suffering. I put in the bulletin, had Kristen put in there an empty sheet. What I want you to do when it's time to do it, and I'll ask the ushers to come around, and if you need a pen or pencil, we have some pencils. I want you to write down, don't put your names on there. Do not put your names. I am not going to check handwriting. I'm not doing any of that. I want you to write down that stuff that is weighing you down. It could be unforgiveness. It could be something that happened to you as a child. It could be something the Holy Spirit brings to your mind that says, write that down. I want you to put it in black and white, and when I get it, I'm going to pray over them and I'm going to destroy them. I'm not going to look at them or anything. It's for you and God. There's things in your life that absolutely need to be gone. It's important that you do that. I was reading about on July 11th, 2011, the Atlantis crew arrived at the International Space Station and successfully attached a module that contained, dig this, 9,403 pounds of space parts and supplies for a year at the space station. It included 2,677 pounds of food. I don't think it was all Tang, but I don't know. Maybe they still take that up there. I don't know. 240 miles above the Earth to the east of New Zealand. What they have on board is a robotic arm that goes to the Earth port and unloads all of this. Took them 130 hours to remove all the equipment and supplies that was in that module. The module itself was 21 feet long and 15 feet wide. Takes a long time to unload all that. Doesn't it? And then you know what they did. Because they're good stewards of their space, they don't go back to Earth with nothing, so they took all the garbage and trash from the International Space Station, brought it aboard, brought it back to Earth. What you write on your little sheets, what you have in your heart, give it to the Lord, because otherwise the enemy will take advantage of it. And when you do that, don't bring the garbage back with you. Okay? That's not going to be useful for your life or for mine. On the side of this module where they're working in that craft, it's called the harmony node. The harmony node. You want harmony with God? You want peace in your heart? Got to get the stuff off so the Lord can plant us, so we can be standing in his righteousness alone and not have all this other stuff. I know when there's things in disarray, it just unsettles my whole thinking. So I'm just ignoring everything I see in my house because it drives me crazy. I just have to purposely ignore it because it affects you. Doesn't it affect you when your life is out of order? Does it affect you when you look at stuff and it just isn't where it should be? See, the problem with the stuff in our life is it came so little through the years, it seemed little, we didn't notice it. And we didn't notice it stuck around. It didn't move anywhere. All it did was continue to build and build and build. And the Lord wants us to come to that place of Tyre. And as I put on that little sheet, it's a flat tire to us. Because if you've got a lot of stuff, or not even a lot sometimes, but you've got something weighing down your spirit and weighing down your mind, it is absolutely going to hamper your journey. You're going to be like with a flat tire, going nowhere. And I tell you this, people can't help you with this. This is something the Holy Spirit helps. This is something the Sovereign God helps us with. Because the devil only responds to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He can't argue that. So I would like you to take a few minutes and write down. I don't want you to make up something if you don't have something, if you don't think you do, but if you do, please write it down. And then I'm going to have the ushers come pick it up. You don't have a bulletin? Okay. Here, you can have my sheet.
Everybody have a sheet?
Okay. Then I'll have the ushers come and start picking them up. How many know that the Lord wants to clean out the stuff so he can fill it with himself? That's what he wants to do. He's not looking for an empty house. He's looking for one that's filled with his glory and his presence and his power for you. And on top of everything, remember one thing about the people of Tyre? They were very talented people. They helped to build the temple. They helped to build the house of David. The Lord wants to release these things so the gifts and the talents that he's given you will come forth in a greater measure. This church is very talented, but there's also gifts and abilities that have probably been stuffed and have not been able to come forward. So we can build what God wants us to build here. How many are glad I don't know your signature? I wouldn't look anyway. Basically, I just want you to get it out of you. That's the purpose. Okay, you want the ushers come up here and let's pray over these and then you can give them to me. Okay. We all said almost. Well, we'll pray while she's writing. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that every life and every individual, Lord, in this room and in your heart, Lord, you have so much to give to us and through us. And when there's obstacles in the way, it impedes the journey. It impedes the power and the flow of God. And Lord, we really do want anything out of the way that's in the way. Anything, Lord, that's affecting our health, anything that's affecting our emotional health, anything, Lord, that's affecting our family, whatever it might be, we'll let you tell us what that is. But I pray, Lord, that as each one writes, Lord, in their life, what stuff is in the way, and they put it on paper, they would know, Lord, that that's not something, Lord, that you're not keeping the record of what we give you. What you want to do is to restore the heart and to give strength to that person. And, Lord, to fill that empty spot with the glory of Almighty God. Lord, I pray you would make us worshipers. The Bible says he seeks such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is a moment of truth, Lord. And I do pray, Lord Jesus, that any hand that the enemy has on any life would be broken in the name of Jesus, and his lies would be exposed. And whether it's from years ago, Lord, or something that's recent, Lord, you dwell in the forever now. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for a liberty in the Word of God and in the heart of our Savior, Lord, to reach into our souls on the journey that we're on. Lord, thank you for bringing us to a place where we can unload, but not pick up the garbage. Instead, pick up the glory that you have intended for each one that is here. Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, your touch upon, Lord God, every life. And I pray especially if there's any of those strongholds, if the enemy is in any way sitting on top of anybody. Lord, I pray they'd be released in the blood of Christ. And Lord Jesus, that you would be honored. And again, that your name would be glorified through every life that is looking to you. Father, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for it. In your precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for the closing. Thank you. Amen. We're going to close in prayer. But if you need extra prayer, you want to spend a little time before the presence of the Lord, come forward as we pray, and I'll be happy to pray with you. Let's let the enemy know we mean business. We're going forward in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for every unclean spirit that wants us to think we're unclean. Lord, they are a liar from the pit of hell. Lord, the Bible said you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Lord, and we take your word over his, Lord Jesus, because you are the victor alone. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would take this journey we're on. And Lord, as the things are unloaded, mighty God, the freedom that comes in the spirit of your people, Lord Jesus, and then the fullness of the presence of God to show us, Lord, how can we build your house? How can we do what you want us to do? Lord, we must be lifted. We must, Lord God, be brought into your presence. Lord, we cannot do it in the flesh. We must do it in the spirit of the living God. So I pray, Father, for your victory. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for you to touch to the uttermost, as only you can do. Lord, we praise you and we honor you and ask, Lord, your blessing upon the remainder of this day, that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.